Welcome to this week's installment of Cultural Conversations. You can leave questions and comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/culturalconversations. I know my mornings aren't complete without a couple cups of coffee. And for those poor souls around me, well, they know how grouchy I can be if I don't get them. The smell, the taste, the warmth. Coffee makes my morning complete. I know my enthusiastic addiction is shared by many. In fact, 500 billion cups are consumed on any given day, and Americans drink on average 3 cups a day. As the legend goes, coffee was first discovered by an Ethiopian shepherd during the 9th century who noticed his goats dancing about after they ate the red cherries from some wild coffee plants. Whether this really happened or not, it's a good story. And like the goats, it's the caffeinated dance that keeps folks like me coming back for more. Coffee is a vital part of American culture. Taking coffee breaks, meeting at coffee houses, even for those who don't drink coffee, have become ubiquitous. Although coffee has been labeled the beverage of capitalism, in this case, I'm okay with that label. Locally, coffee culture in the Fort Wayne area has changed considerably over the past 10 years, and to talk about this today, I have two guests, Cindy DeMarie, president and co-owner of the Firefly Coffee House, and Mike Woodruff, owner of Old Crown Coffee Roasters. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Well, I'm presuming my shared passion for coffee is music to your ears. What was it about coffee that made you decide, hey, I want to open up a coffee house?
Probably based on what you just said, the smell, the taste, the feeling that you get that everything is going to be all right when you take that first sip. Also, I wanted to create a community place, a place where people felt like they could come in and kick back and relax and that they would enjoy the atmosphere along with the coffee and meet friends and family there. And community was very important to us, and I feel like we have achieved that.
Mike, did you want to address that? What was it about coffee? And you roast your beans, so...
Yeah, for us, it was a little bit different. Our approach was to really focus more on the product itself. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we came out of the gate as micro roasters. At the time in the middle late 90s, the coffee house scene was growing pretty rapidly throughout the country.
Right.
And, you know, I to be honest, a lot of what I do is just for selfish reasons. And I just wanted better products for myself. I wanted better coffee. And in order to do that, I quickly realized as we were putting it all together that roasting was at least the key for us. That's how we could control our quantities, our qualities, and take a little bit more pride in what we had.
How do you stay competitive? You don't want to raise prices too much or your customers won't keep coming back.
Right.
But you also have to pay bills.
For us, I mean, we're just very product driven. We want to make sure we're serving a product that you love and want to come back and have more of it. In terms of pricing, at Old Crown, we've just always tried to address our pricing in, you know, what is fair, not only to us, but also to the consumer. I mean, there comes a time when you have to. When oil spikes,
sure.
All of a sudden we're getting beat up on our freight costs for not only our raw coffee coming in, but everything.
Sure.
Everything that gets shipped to us is,
right.
You know, all of a sudden all of our vendors are hitting us with these fuel surcharges. You ever see
yes.
a fuel surcharge
yes,
before 3 years ago?
Yeah,
you know, now
do.
They all have them.
They do.
You know, you just adjust accordingly. I mean, nobody likes to raise prices, but
right.
just, there comes a time when you have to do it. I mean, none of us can work for free. And I think most people have understood that. Just in our current economic situation, not only with the rising commodity costs, you know, but you also have, you know, the weakening dollar, which also contributes to increased prices. So,
now I was surprised to learn that it's the second most traded commodity after
yes.
petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when you say people are addicted like myself,
it's
very true.
It's very, very true. And I've been so pleasantly surprised and relieved that people took the price changes in their stride for the most part. They still kept coming. I'd say maybe some cut back and maybe some don't come as often. But
sure.
Yeah.
But they're still coming.
And we're very grateful for that. They're what keep us going.
What have been some of your biggest surprises regarding your customer base? I mean, I think you just actually addressed that, but do you have other examples that surprises that you never expected when you began this?
I never expected in the beginning 12 years ago that there would be so many teenagers. I think that Fort Wayne kids must have been looking for somewhere to hang out, and there wasn't much choice when you're underage. And so we were just inundated with teenagers coming out the woodwork. So in those early years, it was more of a policing than anything else, just trying to make sure things were kept from being broken or abused, and make sure people were purchasing things and not loitering. But the most surprising thing to me is I worked very hard to try and tap into the retirement age customer, because so the pretense that people seemed to feel was it was for kids only, for teenagers only, coffee houses per se. Once we got people educated that coffee houses are a community gathering place, that stereotype started to decline, and you'll now find all ages sitting together in close environment. One of the other things that I found, or I still find amazing, is that many of those teenagers are now married and having young children, and we're getting to watch those little children grow up as the parents bring them in. So they grow up in a coffee house culture. They, to them, it'll be very, very normal. And I'd say the middle-aged customers, their children were young, and now they're our patrons. Like I said, it's a win-win for everybody. We all love the fact that we become very close and very much like family.
It sounds like an extended family.
It is very much so.
Mike, how about you? Were any surprises with your customer base when you began, or even up to the present time, or?
Oh, there's always surprises.
You want to share a couple of those?
I want to expand on what Cindy talked about a little bit, because it's one of my favorite things to talk about. When Jennifer and I set out to do this 13, 14 years ago, you know, I put together our business plan, and it's very straightforward. This is, you know, who we are, what we want to be, what we're hoping to achieve. And then we opened our doors. And the number one biggest surprise that came to us after we opened our coffee house was that coffee. Now, Cindy said she set out to create a community. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I just set out to open up this store that I thought would be pretty cool. But we quickly realized that coffee is community. And some of our early customers are lifelong friends and will be lifelong friends. And what I also learned and didn't realize, because I've been involved in other businesses as well, you know, you might have a sandwich shop somewhere in town or a similar type operation, and you have your quote-unquote regulars that you might see once or twice a week, and you get to know them. With coffee, very early on, you see the same customers every single day of the week, and you see them every day of the week for years. Mm-hmm. And so you can't not help but get to know them, and it is the number one most pleasant surprise that I didn't expect when I entered into this business. Mm-hmm. And I often just refer to coffee is community. And it's what seems to largely separate us from so many other food service operations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see the same people every day, mm-hmm. and oftentimes for years on end, and we see them grow up. There are, you know, Cindy will have customers that she's known since they were babies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now we see them turning into young adults. And we, you know, our customer or our employees, there's very little turnover. Our employees stick around for years. We lose our employees when they transition into the next phase of their life, which is usually graduating college or moving away or doing something else. But the whole time they're here, largely going to school, they're here. We always have a big stack of applications,
yes,
much bigger.
That's a good sign.
It's a very good sign
than what we're ever going to be able to fill or offer. The other interesting thing with Cindy and I is the fact that we're 5 doors apart from each other.
You are very close.
You
know,
two of the local coffee houses, and you know, 10 years later, 10 years plus now, we're both still here. We share hundreds of customers. You know, there are so many of my customers that go there and vice versa. And, you know, again, fortunately, coffee's mildly addictive. It also helps to have in, you know, rough statistics, half the country drinks coffee. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of business for all of us.
Well, I thank the both of you for coming in today and sharing with us your passion for coffee.
You're
very welcome.
Thank
you.
Thank you for listening to Cultural Conversations, edited by Sarah D'Elia and Blake Lau. Join me every Thursday for a new installment of the podcast at nipr.fm. To learn more about this beautiful human mosaic, you can leave questions and comments at our Facebook page at facebook.com/culturalconversations.